The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day as we gather together for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Today is also, for you liturgy buffs, the appointed day for the Feast of the Martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. Now, because we had that gospel reading a few weeks ago, we did not observe that feast today, but if you would like to, you may, in your own readings this day, go back to that part of the Gospels and read again the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. A few notes if we still could use an usher or two, if you would like to help out. Sunday school and Bible class returns soon, 12 September, so that's 2 weeks away. The Hangout, we have a reception on the 8th of September. There's a sign-up sheet out there for refreshments and such if you would like to contribute for that. We're going to have folks, we're inviting folks in from the community for that. And also Thursdays, we could use somebody to help out on Thursdays if you're available. 3 to 6. We'll talk to either the Kishes or the Micones about that. Janet Jameson, back in the hospital. She's in our prayers today again. She's having a really rough time getting through this last batch of pneumonia. Also, in our prayers today, Mary Bacigalupi. She's tested positive for COVID. So avoid John like the plague. And he's having his test tomorrow. So he's kind of secluding himself back there as well as he can for us. So we pray for recovery for her as well. Yesterday, we had a graveside service burial for Ray Paulson. So continued prayers for Eleanor and the Paulson family. I think that pretty much covers it all. The service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. As he's done before, Jesus tangles with the Pharisees, the most zealous of the teachers among the Jews, and once again, they're upset. They've taken issue with the forgiving of sins, with eating with the tax collectors, with healing on the Sabbath. And now, combining last week's gospel text with today's, they have a friendly reminder that Jesus' disciples eat without washing their hands. Okay, maybe it wasn't a friendly reminder, but there's a problem. The Pharisees aren't pointing out a breaking of God's law, but the laws of man. The Old Testament says nothing about becoming unclean if you eat without washing your hands. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't wash your hands before dinner, kids. But the Pharisees show their hypocrisy in demanding obedience to the laws of men rather than to the word of God alone. It's as if they said, Jesus, your disciples are listening to rock music. Jesus, your disciples are drinking beer. Jesus, your disciples are watching R-rated movies. Those holier-than-thou men have browbeaten untold people into following all sorts of weird rules that have no basis in Holy Scripture. But they can't get a toehold with Jesus. He calls them out on their uncleanness of heart. Because there's a difference, an important difference, between cleanness and purity on the outside and cleanness and purity on the inside. Because the Old Testament does have a lot to say about cleanness. And in obeying the law, one followed a very specific set of rules given by God. But this dealt with ceremonial cleanliness and God's chosen people. The Pharisees demanded this strict obedience to outward purity beyond God's word, while in their hearts Jesus knew they were pustulant to the core. He calls them out on their lip service to God. Quoting the prophet Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." God our Father is concerned with the purity of one's heart, not one's devotion to outward ceremonial rules. The Pharisees held themselves to an outward righteousness that was virtually impossible to follow. And yet, as Jesus says, their hearts are far from him. God our Father looks into your heart, not your outward behavior. But before you get too comfortable, listen to what Jesus said. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Did you hear an if there? If these things come out of the heart, they will defile you. No such luck. Jesus says that all of these things do come from your hearts. If you're paying close attention, you heard murder and adultery and theft and slander and coveting. That's 6 of the 10 commandments there, and that's only part of the list he gave. And so you must understand the seriousness of your situation. Sin, the breaking of God's law, isn't just committing outward sinful acts. You're fooling yourself if you think you're doing okay because you haven't killed anyone, haven't had an affair, you haven't lied about someone in court. St. Paul isn't talking theory when he wrote to the Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned against God in anger and in lust, in covetousness, in failing to help one another, and the list goes on and on and on. Jesus sees into your hearts, and out of those hearts flows nothing but sin. The world around you likes to think it has the answer for the state of mankind. Man is basically good, they say. It's the evil in society around us that corrupts him. That if only we were to give society a big enough hug, everything will eventually get better. But God's word says otherwise. The desires of your heart are only inclined towards evil. The old Adam within you begs to be let loose so he can sin it up. Like King David said in Psalm 51, all of us were conceived in sin. But can't you just try a little harder? Can't you do something to make it go away? Can't you make it better? Couldn't you have improved a little bit over yesterday and be a little bit better today and then a little bit better tomorrow? Word of God says no. Even when you think you're doing the right thing, you're still doing wrong. Breaking the tiniest part of God's law makes you guilty of breaking all of it. And the penalty of breaking all of it is just what sinners deserve. St. Paul again, the wages of sin is death. Death. Separation from God, eternal punishment. And so Jesus brings up the condition of your hearts because he wants you to recognize your fallen nature, that you're not sinful because you sin, rather you sin because you are sinful. It all begins in the heart, which is sinful from conception, even before you're born. And there's no way out of it. On your own. You can't fix society. You can't make the evil stop. It takes something outside of you to do it. And Almighty God Himself is the one who does it for you in His only begotten Son, Jesus. As we just sang, by grace, God's Son, our only Savior, came down to earth to bear our sin. Was it because of your own merit that Jesus died your soul to win? No. It was grace, and grace alone, that brought him from his heavenly throne. Out of the boundless love that he has for you, God our Father sent his only Son to bear all of the sins that you commit every single day, to take all of them upon his shoulders, to carry them with his cross so that he could bleed them out and remove them from you. And then in the washing of holy baptism, all of that forgiveness washes over you, and the fear of breaking this law over here or that law over there is gone. It's taken away. It is all forgiven, and it can't be held against you by those brow-beating, finger-wagging holy people. All of those man-made rules and regulations, they don't apply. They can't apply because they don't come from God's word. Oh, sure, you don't have those super-duper special religious hand washings like the Pharisees did. But you know the type. Making rules just for the sake of having rules. Looking down your nose because someone obviously is not a good enough Christian because... real Christians would never insert the thing you don't like here. Remember what Jesus said, what St. Mark explained? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. So the kosher rules, they no longer apply. Lobster, bacon cheeseburgers, catfish, pulled pork, they're all fine now. Perfectly enjoyable and God-given even. It's not what you put into your body that makes you the sinner, it's what comes out of it. And in Christ, as a baptized and forgiven child of God, even those things that come out are forgiven. And because you are forgiven, because you are freed from worrying what you might do wrong or which little law you might break, you're free to serve God. You're free to serve your neighbor in love like you trust your baptism. And all the good works that God expects of his people, and all the works that proclaim your faith and proclaim the gospel, God himself gives you the ability to do through Christ in you. And so even though those works don't save you, and even though you don't earn anything from God by doing them, you proclaim the gospel through them, because they are the natural outgrowth of the faith that God our Father gives you and strengthens in you through his word and his sacraments. The old rules no longer apply. Rejoice that they've been taken away in the death of Christ, and now you are free to live in the gospel, free to receive God's gifts without fear, free to give thanks for all of his blessings given for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.